with the praying for missionaries. That's a very practical thing that you and I can do. And but you know, in terms of local evangelism, Great Commission Day, and everything, you know, it's sometimes it's hard to think about the we understand going and knocking on doors, right? But really, what this involves, this message, and what we're going to see, Paul's sermon, if you will, I mean, it is, it's a sermon. You know, it's different than that. And so, let me just get into it and just see where the Lord leads. I told Pastor, you know, it seems like it's long, so I'm going to just jump into it, amen, so we won't be here all night. All right, Acts 17, look in verse 16. Acts 17 and verse 16. The Bible says, now while Paul waited for them, that's Silas and Timotheus, he's waiting. While Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? Others, some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Let's stop right there and pray. Ask God's blessing on His Word. Lord, we come before You one more time tonight. Lord, we just pray, God, that You'd help every distraction, Lord. Quiet our hearts for just a few moments, Lord. And I pray, God, that tonight You'd work in my heart. Lord, that's been my prayer, is, Lord, that You'd work on my heart first and then allow my heart to preach, Lord, to these folks. And God, I just pray that You would convict our hearts about what our role is right here in Lafayette. God, we love You. We thank You once again for everything that You've done the past week. God, all the special things, Lord, we give You praise. Thank You for the cross. That's what it's all about. We ask You to just bless the preaching of Your Word in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. If I got you to turn to the very beginning of the book of Acts in your Bible, it would say the Acts of the Apostles. That's the heading. Someone said that it could also rightly be named the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And you think about that, okay? Everything that they done, and there were great things done in the book of Acts, it was through the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, you cannot deny the presence of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. But I want to give a disclaimer, okay? I think you, when you're preaching in the book of Acts, you got to do that sometimes, okay? We know that there are many things that God did through the apostles during this time period which He does not do today. This is our disclaimer. We do not see people being able to speak in other languages in which they have never learned, okay? Husbands and wives falling over dead for being deceptive, amen. Nor of people being healed after falling out of balconies, okay? Well, there's just certain things, okay, that we don't see anymore. God used this frame of time from about AD 30 to about 62, okay? It was about a 30 or so year window right here. He it was just a special time, okay? And we need to understand that. Amen. So I'm just trying to make the point that we cannot compare everything in the book of Acts to our day, okay? And I'm not trying to do that tonight. But what if there was a pattern of preaching, okay, found in this 17th chapter of Acts, okay? And it's a pattern of our witnessing and of communicating with people about the gospel that has largely been ignored in our day. Okay, because I was thinking about this. You know, we read through the New Testament epistles and everything, and we preach sermons out of those letters, those epistles. But as far as actual sermons themselves in the New Testament, as far as from the book of Acts through the book of Revelation, you're not seeing many, you know, things that we could just say, there's an actual sermon that someone gave, okay? But right here, and this is why it's so great here, this is a sermon that the Apostle Paul preached. And I was thinking, wouldn't it be great, Brother Alverson, if we just had, like we do with Spurgeon, just a catalog, thousands of sermons that Spurgeon preached. Wouldn't it be neat if we had that, you know, the sermons of the Apostle Paul? That'd be pretty beneficial to us, okay? But we don't have that. So let's look and see this one example of the sermon. Let's back up just for a second and get the context. Basically, you know, Athens, it was the epicenter of higher learning, right? I mean, from the architecture, perfect building. Anybody ever been to Nashville and seen, or you might have been to the actual Parthenon, okay? But they built one in Nashville, Tennessee. All right, I went right after, or it was actually during the process of it being built. It's something to see. You know, you don't have to fly all the way to Greece, right, to see it. But hey, it's the home to Plato and Socrates, and listen, all these philosophers that are still having an impact today. Now, how many people ever get intimidated when you're going to have an opportunity to witness to someone, to talk to them about the gospel? You ever get intimidated? We all do, right? And why? We think, well, this person's going to be smarter than me. This person's going to ask a question that I don't have an answer to. Can you imagine what it was like in Athens? I mean, going up against these guys that, as the Scripture's going to tell us here in a minute, all they wanted to do was to hear and to tell of something new. I mean, that's all they spent their time doing, y'all. So that would have been intimidating, you know. But in Acts 14, we begin to kind of see persecution heading towards Paul, okay? But if you look throughout his ministry and everything, a lot of it was from the Jews. So we begin to see that in Acts chapter number 14. We see in Acts 16, Paul and Silas imprisoned at Philippi. We see that God used that persecution to save the Philippian jailer. When they were released from jail, as they continued to travel, what'd they find? More persecution. Amen. I mean, listen, they were up against it. Now, we don't have that yet. So we can say, thank you, Lord, you've given us some open doors that Paul, he just kind of had to bust them down, right? But as they continued to travel, they found more persecution. Most of this came from the Jews, like I said, but the Gentiles were beginning to become uncomfortable and antagonistic towards the gospel. Then when we start chapter number 17 here, we see Paul dealing with a rough group. And I'll tell you who that is. It was the Jews of Thessalonica. Them boys was mean, okay? They were really mean. You say, how do you know that? Because listen, when Paul got away from them in Thessalonica, he went to Berea. Guess what? They hunted him down. They heard about what he was doing in Berea and they said, oh, we're going to put a stop to it right there. And so we see God moving the Apostle Paul. He's going from Thessalonica. He's going to Berea. And that's when we come right here to our text, okay? Paul in Athens, Greece. Keep that in your mind that he was dealing, and I mean, hey, the view and everything, what he was looking at was these great architectural feats, and the people that he was dealing with were intellectual giants. Okay? Think about that for a second. That's pretty intimidating. So this is, like I said, it's Paul's second missionary journey that all this takes place. But we're going to try to put this down on the local level, okay? This is our Jerusalem, right? I mean, I think about, boy, I can close my eyes and I can see mine. Trine in Somerville right there where I live and work, you know, that's, I mean, when you spend most of your days, you know, hours and hours a day, I mean, I see people coming to the post office. I mean, that's my Jerusalem for the most part. Amen? Amen. So, let me, real quick, I wanted to mention something before we kind of get into the meat of what I wanted to get to. In verse number 16, I'm sorry. Now, look at verse number 17, and then we're going to just take a step back. We read, Paul disputed in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons. This is what I want you to see, though, in the market daily with them that met with him. What do you think about when you think about in the market? There's a radio show called In the Market, okay, and they talk about, you know, how to live and really to do this, you know, because it's a public thing, okay? We live in the public, right? We go in and out amongst people. And hey, Great Commission Day is really Great Commission life. That's what it's supposed to be. You know what I mean? You just think about that for a second. The Great Commission is a lifelong process and thing that we are to do. It's a daily interaction. But Paul was engaging. I want you to think, we said in the markets. I want to change this just a little bit, just for practicality. He engaged with those he met in the highways and hedges. Y'all get what I'm talking about? Hey, we've got a ministry here, okay, called Highways and Hedges. You know what we're doing? We're getting outside of the building and we're getting into the market, so to speak. Okay? Now, we're not out there looking for somebody to dispute with, okay? But we're holding up signs that have a message to them, right? So I just wanted to encourage you for a second that, listen, if you're capable of being involved in this ministry and you're not doing it, number one, you're doing a disservice to yourself. Hey, you're missing out on a blessing. Amen. And hey, pastors talked about it, and we've seen it. It has been one of the most fruitful ministries of the church. Amen. Now, it's a little bit different than this, because in my way of thinking, the people that are going to see those signs and they're actually going to, do it. They're going to say, you know what, I'm going to... A lot of it are people that are saved. Okay? And hey, does anybody know of people that maybe hadn't been to church since about March of 2020? Does anybody know anybody like that? Okay? So what I'm getting at is look, you can be engaged in a ministry and you might have some hand gestures and things like that the world, but hey, at least, hey, they read your sign, right? They gave you one back, but, you know. But in all seriousness, hey, people, they need to be in, believers need to be in church. Amen. And it's a good ministry to say, hey, remember where you're supposed to be at? So I'm just wanting to encourage you. Hey, you can take 15 minutes on a Sunday morning and hold up a sign, and you can take some horns blowing and like I said, some things that might not be pleasant. But hey, at least we hadn't had water. But I was running it's been like 2 years ago, running down the road, and some teenager threw a water bottle at me. I mean, while they're going 45 miles, and it was not empty. It wasn't one of them water bottles. I mean, his hat flew out the window, though, at the same time, and I snatched it up. He had to come back for it, and I tried to be real spiritual. But anyway, hey, you know, somebody might decide to throw a water bottle at us, okay? But anyway, get involved, okay? All right, now we're going to get into the message, amen? I'm done being funny. All right. Now, we started reading in verse number 16. If there was a recipe, right? You know, when you look at the ingredients on the back of some kind of food item, okay? The first item listed is the most of something, right? That's the whatever is, you know, the most in that can. Let's say if it's a jar of spaghetti sauce, what's going to be the first ingredient? Tomatoes, right? Okay, you get my drift there? If there was a recipe, so to speak, for what we need to do as far as Great Commission, and like I said, in our Great Commission life, I guess if we're going to give this sermon a title, that's what it could be, Great Commission life. If there was a number one listed ingredient, it would be my first point, found in verse number 16. Let's read it. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred. Point number one, a stirred spirit. Y'all, I'm not saying once again that I'm Mr. up here with tears flowing down like I ought to be. Brother Brent, he convicted my heart the other day. Hey, a stirred spirit we seen Sunday night. Hey, it might say, boy, that didn't seem usual. Well, it ought to be more usual, amen. It ought not to be unusual that we get a little bit stirred up when we start thinking about our loved ones that don't know Christ. We've got to have this. Like I said, hey, it is the first ingredient, y'all. We've got to be stirred within ourselves. Paul, he waited in Athens. W-A-I-T-E-D. Waited. Okay? But he was not idle. Amen. He was waiting on Timothy and Silas. But I tell you what he started to do. He started to do this right here. He started to look around. And hey, they say that you were just as likely to find a god in Athens as a man. Idols, idols, idols everywhere. Okay? I mean, can you imagine? That's what he was dealing with. He waited, okay? Now, you know what? It was just a natural thing for him to do this, to look around and then to go, hey, I've got to do something. Because listen, that road to Damascus experience, it just had to come out. It was just a natural thing. He waited, but I want you to say something more important. He was waited, W-E-I-G-H-T-E-D. Hope I spelled that right. He waited. What I mean by that is, listen, you say, what does it mean to have a stirred spirit? It means for the weight to be on you. You know what I mean? I mean, you think about carrying a really heavy load, right? They call it a farmer's walk where you just take the heaviest weights you can pick up and you just walk with them. People do it. I don't know. But listen, you're bearing a load, you know? But I mean, what was it? It was the fact that he loved these people he didn't even know.
Right.
Think, I mean, and that's another thing that, you know, there was a connection there because, let's face it, Paul, he wasn't an intellectual dummy. Okay? And I think there was a part of him that saw these intellectual types and he had a connection in that sense with them. You know, and for us, hey, we've got connections right here in Lafayette. You see what I'm saying? And that ought to stir our hearts. We ought to see a man. We ought to see a woman. And we ought to look past what we see on the outside. And that's what we do today, y'all. It's so easy to do today. Because look, we're looking at people that they want to look as different, I don't even know the word to describe it. Whether it's gothic or, you know, just whatever, it's something they want to stand out. Okay, and we can, boy, and especially with the transgender stuff, and I'm just, this is something that happened to me recently. I looked at somebody and I said, Lord help, yeah. You know, and I just, and I thought, Lord, is that the right attitude? Mm-hmm. But, y'all, I can't stress this. I wish I could just spend my whole time on this thing of a stirred spirit, y'all. And you say, how am I going to get it? Prayer is really the number one thing that I can think of. I mean, because listen, it's not something that we can do on our own. We can attempt to try to muster that up, but we've got to seek God. And I think the more, hey, when we see who we were, we see, you know what I mean? And we call to remembrance what God's done in our life, we can have compassion. The book of Hebrews talking about, you know, hey, we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. When we, right, we see how much infirmity we have, then when we see somebody else that has infirmities, we can have compassion. We've got to have it.
Amen.
I love it when I read, Jesus was moved with compassion.
Amen.
Man, when that, and that's why he went to the cross. He had compassion on us.
Amen.
That's what it was all about. And so, let me ask you this. Have you came to the place where you look at somebody and you say, it just served them right for God to judge them?
Yeah.
We've got to take a step back. We got to confess that is sin. You know what I mean? It really is. And like I said, I get it. Satan's done a good job at making these two worlds collide. But we've got to walk in the Spirit and not, because even believers, we've got that aspect of carnality where we want to do things in a wrong spirit and wrong attitude. Okay, I'm going to get off that. But hey, we've got to have a stirred spirit. Look down at verse number 23. Well, I tell you what, we stopped reading in verse number 18. Let's look at verse 19. And then we'll just kind of read a couple of verses here. And they took him, talking about these Athenians, okay, and brought him unto Areopagus, that's Mars Hill, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. And now this is where I wanted to get to in verse 23, but I needed to fill that in. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions. We see that Paul's spirit was stirred, okay? Say, what was it that done it? Look, Paul was going through this city, and look, he had a studious sight. And where have I heard that? I don't know if it's a... You know, sometimes we've heard something so many times we think it's Scripture, but mine eye has affected mine heart. Maybe it's just to say it, but it's good, okay? It's the truth, right? Hey, he saw, and he saw those idols and everything, and that's what developed that stirred spirit, okay? Now, then, I'm having to just kind of fill this in a little bit. You say, what was it? Where did Paul start? This is so important, okay? Because we're trying to get to where we're seeing the practical preaching, witnessing that Paul did, okay? But back in verse 18, they mocked Paul, okay? Why did they mock Paul? Because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Now, I want you to think about this. Even though these men in Athens were intellectual giants, when Paul said the name Jesus, when he talked about resurrection, they went, do what? Huh? Now this, y'all, if you turn me off in the next 5 minutes, just give me five more minutes. This is where we are kind of missing the boat in the Southeast especially, okay? I got to thinking about this, and I wish I had a board that I could just draw it on. You think about an equation, right? A math equation. And you know how at the bottom of the math equation you draw the line, right? And below the line you write the answer, okay? You know what we want to do a lot of times? We want to go, Jesus is the answer to people today. And they go, what's the problem? What's the equation? And I want you to think about that, right? I mean, just imagine a line with underneath it, Jesus. The top of it is blank. Y'all get what I'm saying? All right, this is the point I'm really trying to stress here. This is not Georgia of the 1960s and 70s. Okay? Now, I didn't live back then, okay? But I've heard. Now, Brother Jeff, was it when you would go door knocking and visiting and everything, did most people have a conception, an understanding of what sin was? And they got it, right? And hey, they knew what was right and they knew what was wrong. Y'all, we don't live in Mayberry anymore. Get that tonight. If you don't get that, and we are going out here knocking on doors and saying, Jesus is the answer to your problems, they're going to be like, I don't know what you're talking about. I ain't got no problems. Right? So, that's the practical part of this message tonight. Look, we've got to draw out the equation for them, okay? Now, like I said, they mocked because it was a strange story to them. Right? He's like, I mean, Jesus and the resurrection, you're nothing but a babbler. You're just speaking foolish stuff, right? And some people today, they just go, I don't get it. I don't get it. So we've just got to understand that, okay? So what's our application in this? So Paul made a studious cite, but they thought it was just a strange story, okay? That's what the Athenians thought. We must know our audience.
That's right. Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Like I said, the 40, 50 years ago, the audience is vastly, vastly different, okay? I'll ask Brother Randy's got a great testimony. Brother Randy, when those two women knocked on that door that day, did they have to explain sin to you in great detail?
No.
No. Brother Randy, he already got it. He got it. Okay? Now, we must know where our audience is spiritually speaking. Okay? That's where this idea of this studious sight, we got to start discerning some things, right? We've got to look at what and we've got to understand that it's an individual by individual basis, right? And a lot of times we just got to wait for a door to crack open, okay? For us to get a glimpse into somebody's problems or something, you know? Man, people come into the post office sometimes. I had a woman the other day, she said, yeah, my third husband, blah, you know, and she starts telling me all this stuff, and I went to my postmaster, I was like, do I just have something stamped on my head, you know, just tell me your life story or something, you know? But that's a good thing, right? Pay attention to what people say and wait for the door to crack. Study people.
Amen.
Right? And to the degree that we can keep ourselves pure in doing it, we need to understand what's going on in our culture, right?
Amen.
Hey, I just seen this one, right? I mean, when you got the most popular singer in the United States of America sitting up in a skybox with a witch with an upside down cross on her neck, hey, if we understand that those things are going on, we can engage the culture. You know, because, hey, the culture, that's what they're in, right? I don't think we ought to just dive into it ourselves. But if we see something like that, we can use those things. What I'm getting at is we've got to know a little bit about the culture, so that we can engage with them. And Paul does that, okay? You say, Paul, he just used the Old Testament, right, with the Athenians. No, he actually used some of their writings. You know what I mean? It's so practical, this sermon is. So, Paul, listen, he disputed with the Jews. Think about that. Did he have to explain sin to the Jews? No. They understood. They had the Old Testament, okay? So Paul could start at a different place with them. When you look at Stephen and the sermon that he preached, who was he preaching to? Preaching to the Jews. He didn't have to start with Adam and Eve. They got it already, okay? So, sorry, I'm trying my best to go through this. Hey, the Athenians were clueless, okay? They didn't know who Jehovah God was. They're clueless about that. They knew a lot of stuff, okay? And people can know a lot and not know anything at the same time, amen? You ever met any of those? Intellectually, now let me back up. They were clueless, but they were interested. How many, and I was talking to my brother the other day, and I'm telling you, sometimes I think, well, he's not interested in anything spiritual. But we had a long conversation about spiritual things. And he began to tell me about other people. I said, that person's interested in spiritual things? I was blown away at some of the people that he was telling me that he had conversations with. I thought, well, people are interested. The devil, that's just a lie. He wants to tell us, man, they ain't interested. They are interested. They absolutely are, okay? Intellectually, the Athenians, we said, they want to do, give us something new. Give us something new all the time. Are Americans that same way? We really are. Y'all, we've got 24-hour news. Why? Because we always want to go know the newest thing. All right? We've got Facebook. We've got Instagram. We've got this. We've got that. Why? So we can always know what's going on in somebody's life. What's the newest, latest thing, right? Hey, do you think people that make millions and millions and millions of dollars on YouTube, do you think they only upload something once every 2 months? No, because they'll get left behind. They've got to keep on going, keep giving new stuff, keep giving new stuff, okay? What I'm getting at is we're the same type of culture. We think we know a lot and we don't know anything. Culturally speaking, okay? But, and I bring up the social media because, listen, hey, you say, why are people engaged in paganism, in New Age beliefs, in witchcraft, and all these different things? You say, why are people? Because, man, they've used the technological resources provided. You know what I mean? People gobble that stuff up. Man, if we went back, I mean, think about this. People say, man, I can't read anything, but they'll sit down and gobble up Harry Potter novels when they're, 10 years old, and eight or nine of them, thick books, you know what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden you see an increase in all these website searches for witchcraft stuff. You go, I wonder how that happened. You get what I'm saying? It's because, hey, we've not engaged the culture properly. And so, like I said, we're dealing with a different day, okay? This is 2024, y'all. We're dealing with a different culture. And like I said, the message is the same. The gospel is that we are sinners and that Jesus came to die on the cross for every sinner. Amen? The message is the same. But to get that message to people, it's going to involve lots of different things, okay? Because there's just so many avenues out there. Just so many. So, I'm going to just try to skip ahead, but I just can't stress that enough, okay? The message never changes, but the methods do, okay? Look at verse number 18 again. says, then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. Here were two groups. I call this a sordid swarm. These were some, two polar opposite groups. Okay? And guess what? A lot of times we're going to meet a vast array of different people, okay? You say, what were the Epicureans? Let me see if y'all ever heard this. If it feels good, do it. There's your Epicureans, all right? That easy enough? All right? Now the Stoics, a little bit different. But believe it or not, this is actually making some inroads today. The Stoics kind of believe in this self-righteousness, self-help, okay, kind of thing. Where imagine a modern-day monk who is trying to beat his body into submission. Okay? That's kind of the idea of this Stoics group, okay? But once again, practically speaking, we've got to understand, Jesus had the same thing. He had the Sadducees on one side, the Pharisees on the other side. Guess what? Two polar opposite belief systems, okay? So there's nothing new under the sun. We're going to have the same thing. Once again, it goes back to that studying, okay? Having that discernment, you know? And you know what? It'd be good, instead of us always doing the talking, to ask a question or two. To find out, are you an Epicurean or are you a Stoic? Don't ask that question because they won't know what that means probably. But y'all get what I'm saying? Ask some questions to figure out where someone is. It's just a practical thing, okay? But that was, and once again, we talked about, these two groups were polar opposite one another, they gathered together because all they wanted to do was hear something new. Now, here's the thing. People are like that today, but they're not going to be gathering on Mars Hill. And I hate to, I don't even like technology, y'all, all that much. I mean, there's definitely some great things, but you know where people go for the marketplace of ideas? I'm just saying this, if you want to reach people with the gospel, it's going to involve these screens. It's just the truth. Like I said, I'm not trying to preach some heresy, okay? It's just the truth. Now, let me move on. I got to hurry. Next, and here it is. We're finally there. A simple sermon. A simple sermon. Let's read it real quick together. Look at verse 22. Excuse me. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Listen to this next part. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. Listen to this. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. That was it. It's a lot shorter sermon than what I'm doing, right? Hey, it was a short, simple sermon. He didn't get into heaven. He didn't get into hell. You know what I mean? He talked about judgment, okay? But if I could just make one point just real clear, try not to drag this out. He was trying to get them to see, hey, you're responsible to God for what you do on this earth. I think that simple message, and it's not that we don't believe that, but we just don't pave the way with that. That's our asphalt right there, is getting people to see that very simple message. But let me just tell you just a couple of things that I see in his message. Number one, creation. In this simple sermon, he starts with creation. Now, we cannot twist people's arm to get them to stop believing in evolution, okay? But I will say this, I believe that there are people beginning to wake up and go and look, even the scientists and everything, look, we got to come up with something better. We don't want to believe the Bible, but we got to do something better than this. It has weak links, y'all. We can win this dispute. Now, we can't do it with the wrong attitude and a wrong spirit, okay? We can't force it. But it all starts with creation. What did he say? God that made the world and all things therein, okay? That's where he started. Then number two, charity. Verse 25, okay? Hey, our God, the one that created all of this, he's a good God. He's good. So how do you know that? Hey, I mean, he gives to all, right? I mean, he giveth to all life and breath and all things. God's a giving God. He's charitable. That's something good. People need to know. Number three, there's a consensus, okay? Hey, we've seen that it don't matter. It doesn't matter your continent, your country, your color, your creed. It doesn't matter. We're all in the same boat. So, right? I mean, it doesn't matter if we meet somebody from China or from Russia or whatever. We're all alike in the sense that we are going to have to stand before God one day and give an account. Okay? So we see a consensus. Then next we see a commendation, right? This is where he goes, look, we see that God created everything. We see that God's good. We see that we're all in the same boat. And now we've got to repent. That's the commendation, okay? That's Paul's recommendation, right? That's the only recommendation. Hey, you've got to do something with this message right here. You've got to do something. Okay, God commands all men, everywhere, to repent. He's getting on this, hey, what you do matters. You are accountable. That's important. And then we see the consummation. Why should one repent? Hey, this is where Jesus comes in. He comes in at... Hey, he's laid the equation out, y'all. This plus this minus this equals Jesus. Okay? He says in verse number 31, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world. How? In righteousness. By who? And I thought about Brother Jeff right here. By that man. Y'all remember that? By that man. Whom he hath ordained. Say, how do we know this for sure? Well, he's given all men assurance because of the resurrection. And we can't say that enough. We say Jesus died on the cross, Jesus died on the cross. We can't forget the fact that he rose from the grave. Amen? Hey, that and think about what he's saying there. That gives men assurance that, hey, if he rose, every single person. Every single person is going to be resurrected.
Right.
Every single person. Saved, lost, okay? That's what gives men assurance. Hey, Jesus rose from the dead. You're going to rise one day too. But here's what's going to happen when you do. So, making my last two points real quick. In verse number 32, there's a seeming stalemate. Look at verse 32. It says, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. There is your one reaction that you're going to have, okay? One reaction. Some mocked. That's the one we don't like. We dread that. We think everybody's going to mock us, okay? Some mocked. Others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. That might seem like a loss, but hey, we piqued their interest. We got them thinking, right? And then, verse number 33, so Paul departed from among them. Look at verse 34. This is a small success in the world's eyes, but to us, we know that one is a great victory, right? Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris and others with them. Don't know how many there was right there, amen, others with them. Could have been big. But we know there was two significant people that were named, okay? I mean, you know, he was an Areopagite. That sounds like a pretty important guy. But, y'all, sometimes it's going to seem like a stalemate, okay? It's going to seem like everything's came to a screeching halt, right? You ever had a conversation that seemed to be going real good, and now all of a sudden, the brakes were put on? That's okay. That's okay, because listen, once we do what we're to do, once we write the equation out, we answer it, you know what? God does the rest. It's up to God. And that's a great relief for us. We can't do anything in our power. We can do nothing.
Amen.
We have to rely on the Holy Spirit. Amen? But hey, the world's going to say, listen, that's Linwood, that's a small church. No. They don't know they don't know what's really going on in here, amen. What happened this past week on Sunday morning and what happened on Sunday night, they don't get it yet.
Amen.
Yet. So I say all that just to say, hey, go get them.
Amen.
Hey, listen.
I like that.
Hey, this is not Great Commission Day. Great Commission Day. Life. Miss Mickey, if you would, please, ma'am. Y'all, I'll go back to that first point. Pray for stirred spirits right here. If your spirit's stirred, it'll stir other people's spirits. Hey, it'll the people that you come into contact with, their spirit will be stirred. I don't know what the Lord wants to do with this message. I've tried to shorten it and condense it as much as I could. But you do what the Lord tells you to do while Miss Mickey plays, okay?